Good afternoon.
Hello?
Hello, everyone. My name is Maggie Wilkins. I'm the state field coordinator with the League of Education Voters. Thank you for joining us today. This is the third webinar in our series of lunchtime webinars on early education for all. Our goal is to bring you succinct info sessions at the lunch hour on some of LEV's top education priorities. We've also worked to create these webinars in a fashion that helps build a base of knowledge for advocacy. Each topic we've selected includes three presentations. The first of the three in the series will engage advocates on a personal level. We're hoping to provide some tangible skills for you and your young person to help navigate the public school system. The second presentation in the series helps put context to the issue. Many of the barriers we face in the schools as individuals are actually quite common to parents, guardians, and families. Through sharing and building relationships, we help empower ourselves to keep advocating. The third webinar in this series will bring you a bright spot or an example of best practices. In advocacy and social change, it's important to share your vision that outlines how you think schools should be and not merely what we believe is unjust. The format is pretty simple. We're going to dive right into a presentation from our guests, and we'll wrap up a few minutes early so our presenters can answer questions from the audience. You'll notice that we have a chat function on the left-hand side of the webinar. This is a space for you to pose questions to the presenter. Please remember to be respectful, as all this information is public and will be archived on our website for later access. While you can ask questions throughout the entire presentation, just want you to know that we'll be taking time at the end to answer them. Lastly, you can visit our webpage at educationvoters.org in order to view the full list of past and future webinars. Today, we'll have a talented team of speakers all working in the world of early learning. We have Assistant Principal Jerry Guerrero, Pre-K and Kindergarten Teacher Julia Brady, and Early Learning School Counselor Rachel Carrasco of South Shore School in Seattle. Thank you all, and please take it away.
Thank you, Maggie. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jerry Guerrero. I'm the Assistant Principal and Early Learning Director for the Preschool Step Ahead program at South Shore Pre-K 8. And with me today, I have Rachel Carrasco, who is our elementary school counselor, and our teacher, Julia Brady, who will be joining us in a bit. One of us will need to go and relieve her from her classroom so she can extend her experiences as a preschool teacher, and now she is our kindergarten teacher. So one of the things that we have for you today is to talk about, and what I will be talking about primarily, is our preschool program and what we use as far as best practices. We have three preschool programs with a staff of two adults per classroom. So I have a certificated teacher and an instructional assistant in each classroom. We have a maximum of 18 students per classroom. The curriculum that we use in each of the preschool classroom is HiSCOPE. And if you're not familiar with HiSCOPE, it's a model of early childhood education that provides a framework of educational ideas and practices based on the development of young children. Part of HiSCOPE is looking at the student as an active learner. And there is a lot of engaging in conversations that are scaffolded, also permitting the student or the children to plan, to carry out, and to reflect on their own activities. One of our practices also at South Shore is that we loop our staff with their students into kindergarten. So looping is an educational term, but our staff will follow our students into kindergarten. So when our students come back to school, they see a familiar face, and they also are comfortable with that person. So actually, on day one, we do have learning occurs on day one of school. That relationship has already been established. Part of what we do at South Shore and in our pre-K program, we have a very strong social-emotional wellness program that is aligned with our high-scope approach. And I have Ms. Carrasco, who is going to talk more about that. That is an area that she focuses on with all our elementary programs at our school.
So when Jerry mentioned the wellness program, we do have a way of a very systematic approach to monitoring students' growth in four domains: their social growth, emotional growth, academic growth, and physical growth. So using a set of rubrics that were developed by a team of psychologists, we monitor the students' progress on a monthly basis in each of the four domains, and then if concerns arise, we're able to respond appropriately to any of the concerns that may come up in the four domains. So in that sense, it's a whole child approach to monitoring the progress of our students. And in the areas of emotional literacy and social-emotional learning, we have two programs in place in our preschool that help students to develop those skills. The first program is the RULER approach. It's out of Yale University, and it's the South Shore right now is the only school in Seattle utilizing the approach. We have two more schools joining us this year. In the pre-K classroom, the emphasis is on understanding how the child is feeling and helping them to develop those self-awareness skills, recognizing how much energy they have and how pleasant or unpleasant they're feeling. So each day they are charting themselves on what we call the mood meter. And that's helping them to develop the skills of recognizing how they're feeling, understanding the causes of those emotions, finding an appropriate label, which is important for our youngest kids, that we've developed a very robust vocabulary of emotion words so they can accurately label their emotion. And then we get them to think about how they're expressing their emotions. You know, how will other people know that they're feeling this way? And is the expression of the emotion congruent with what they're reporting the emotion is? And finally, how are they going to regulate that emotion? So in the preschool classroom, you know, the strategies could be very simple. You know, I'm going to ask for help. I'm going to take deep breaths. I'm going to focus on what I'm doing during work time and being my best self. And the nice thing about the RULER approach is it's done each and every day in every classroom, so it's not an isolated lesson in one classroom or a lesson that happens once a week. Another component of the RULER approach, in addition to the mood meter, is the meta moment, which helps students develop those self-regulation skills that are so necessary to their success. And so each classroom is also teaching the steps in that process. And then using the high scope model and the RULER approach, we have a set structure for having conversations when conflicts arise, really helping students to develop empathy and helping them to develop the skills of self-reflection and examining choices and the outcomes of those choices that they're making. And then the third component we have is Second Step, and we use the early learning curriculum from Second Step, which has just recently been on the market. But it's geared specifically for the preschool classroom. And I teach that lesson in classrooms weekly, so I'm visiting each class once a week to teach about a 15-minute lesson that involves a very specific topic. So, for example, this week we're just getting started, so the lesson was about how to make students feel welcome. So basic skills of introducing oneself, how to interact appropriately with someone you haven't met before, how can you reach out to that person and help them feel like they belong in the classroom and feel like they're a part of the group. So in Second Step, there are four units. So the first unit we're working on is building skills for learning, so listening is really important, how to focus attention, how to use self-talk to regulate oneself. Then we move on to developing empathy skills. So like with RULER, again, we're focusing on recognizing emotions and how to respond appropriately when you see someone experiencing that emotion and what to do if you yourself are experiencing that emotion, how to regulate that depending on what your goal is, to feel more of that emotion or less of that emotion. then we move on to problem solving and all that comes with that, with kids being a part of a classroom and being a part of a school community. How do we solve problems appropriately? And then finally, we move on to the self-regulation piece of second step, which involves managing emotions with a lot of attention paid to how to calm down and how to respond appropriately to other people who are experiencing heightened states of emotion. And then I make myself available to the pre-K classrooms for responsive services as needed. And then in kindergarten, I run small social skills groups and emotion management groups that are just there to serve as kind of a double dose of emotional literacy instruction for students. And in both grade levels, I'm available to teachers to troubleshoot issues, meet with families regarding their concerns, and oversee the wellness process for both grades. And if needed, the student intervention team process, if we're looking at the need to have a student assessed for special education services. And Julia Brady has now joined us. So I will pass it on to her, and she will talk about her role in this program.
Hello, good afternoon. So we work at South Shore to really, this year I'm looping. So last year I taught pre-kindergarten, and this year I have a lot of the same students in kindergarten. So I'll talk a little bit about the early academics, pre-academics, how we prepare them in pre-K and how it's really helped this year in kindergarten to have that foundation. I think that you heard a bit about the social-emotional foundation that is absolutely necessary. In pre-kindergarten, we really focus on the behaviors that learners need and problem-solving through challenges. But the pre-academic piece, we really work to place students in small groups so that they have more teacher-student interaction. And for literacy, we really encourage the read aloud, making it interactive, and having students join us in the story. So doing a lot of shared reading with students, lots of vocabulary, and a lot of familiar books that they can really engage in. We do turn and talk.
Hey, y'all, we seem to be having some audio troubles. Just give us one moment. All right. Sorry for that interruption. Please continue.
No, that's okay. We really get the younger students because we know that they have short attention spans, and we want them moving and talking and sharing a lot. We do, when we're reading aloud, turn and talks, which basically we have them think about the idea that we're wanting them to focus on, and they turn to a neighbor and they tell them about it. So every student has the opportunity, even if they, are a little shy, to talk to somebody about their ideas. And then we have them share out after they turn and talk. So I find that's a really high leverage move for the pre-academics with the little ones, to have them turning and talking to their friends, hearing how their neighbor problem solved something. So we do really, for literacy, focus on those interactive read-alouds and shared readings with a lot of text in front of them, a lot of vocabulary. And then in math also, we do that in small groups with students. So everything that we plan is kind of based off of the high scope curriculum, and they have lessons for math, and they're very focused on, counting one to one. So we just have students in small groups. We do a quick little mini lesson with them to demonstrate, and then we do it together and come together and review it. So really, really, like, the lessons that we do for math and literacy are shortened time periods, but really specific, and giving students the opportunity to be interactive with materials, with each other, with language, And the curriculum we use here is High Scope. And we also do for literacy Handwriting Without Tears that teaches them about good habits for writing. And I've noticed a big difference for my kindergartners this year in our writing. They already know how to form those capital letters. They notice the, you know, way letters are formed are straight lines, curved lines. And all my students from last year came into kindergarten knowing all their letters. So that was, you know, those pre-academic foundations really set them up for starting kindergarten off right away with confidence. So I think, and then also just, you know, that problem-solving piece that we use for social-emotional also can integrate into the academics so that when we say, okay, I noticed that you came up with this idea, tell us about it. Okay, your friend came up with a different idea, tell us how you did that. And then what could we do next time? What idea are you going to use next time? So kind of giving them the chance to come up with the ideas and the solutions and not being so teacher-directed and giving the students a chance to learn from each other is a really great piece that I'm noticing in kindergarten. They already take charge of their own learning and are learning from each other. So, yeah, I think that is a big part of our academic program here for pre-K and kindergarten.
Great. Did you want to say a little bit about the upcoming early learning open house at South Shore?
Sure. So we have open house for our kindergarten pre-K students and first. And that's just an opportunity for families to come in and learn a bit about our curriculum, what we do in the classroom, see the schedule that students go through during the day, learn about. For kindergarten, we're going to talk about literacy and how we're really invested in Reader's Workshop here and how that is part of our mission at South Shore to do that from K all the way up. And it just really gives the parents an opportunity to engage with the teacher and see their children in their classroom. And we're just going to give them a little bit of information about a specific topic, which is Reader's Workshop here at South Shore.
Great. We have one question from the audience. Are there efforts or curriculum to help develop longer attention spans rather than catering to short attention spans?
So I think part of that is just really building that social-emotional piece in starting in pre-kindergarten here, but talking about, you know, how the learning behaviors affect how we learn. So how, you know, every part of what we do just behavior-wise is taught. So how we practice sitting and we grow their stamina in that just with engaging them and making it interactive so that gradually that does build upon itself. And, you know, when they're in pre-kindergarten and kindergarten, you do have to be really specific and, you know, make sure that when you're doing a teaching point, it's very succinct for them to know exactly where you're going with it and what they need to do. And so I think as long as, you know, you are clear as far as your what you're teaching and you're embedding those behaviors, then their stamina does begin to build naturally.
And I think, too, the ruler approach does a nice job of teaching students strategies. So if you're having trouble paying attention, you know, you're likely feeling excited or nervous or, you know, there's an emotion attached to that. So then we're teaching specific strategies, how to manage that in that moment. So, yeah, you're really excited, but Ms. Brady is up at the front teaching an important lesson. What are you going to do to calm yourself and so you can focus? So in that way, I think we're really empowering students to understand their emotions, their bodies, and what they can do to settle themselves and focus. And I think, too, we're just staying aware of where they are developmentally, and, you know, in our practices. So things are short, and we are moving constantly because that's the nature of the 4, the 5, the 6-year-old.
Thank you. To your knowledge, are there other public schools in Seattle that are doing any kind of open house for their pre-K programs besides South Shore?
No, we don't.
I'm not sure. I really couldn't speak to that. I'm not aware of the other programs, open houses.
We had another question. Does South Shore have a program that introduces music and or the arts to the youngest students?
Yes, so we do have, at South Shore, we do have music for the students. We have PE and we have art class for them, so we do tap into those creative outlets, and they go to that every week. So that is a part of our program.
We had a question from a fellow preschool teacher. Do you allow teachers to come and visit during a typical week?
Absolutely. We encourage that. I think that, you know, teachers learn best when they learn from each other, and it's great to see what other teachers do in the classroom and take that and be able to do it immediately in your own classroom. So we do have that open door policy where we have teachers here that demonstrate lessons, and a lot of teachers do come and visit our pre-K, kindergarten, first grade classrooms.
So if folks would like to do that, what's the best way for them to go about it? How could they reach you?
So they would probably set up a visitation time with Ms. Guerrero. She's our early learning director, and so she could schedule a time in a teacher's classroom depending on if they wanted to visit pre-K or kindergarten, and if they had a specific scope that they wanted to look at, such as literacy. So that would probably be the best route, is to schedule it through our early learning director.
Great, thank you. Are there any more questions from the audience? Oh, we have one here. How is RULER being funded, and what has been the best and most challenging part of this curriculum?
Well, RULER is funded in part through our We Give Education Voters grant, and I believe we use some Title I funds to support it. It is a very cost-effective approach. All it involves is having, well, I'm now the only person that's a certified trainer in the building, so you do need to send somebody to Yale for training, and there is some costs involved with that, with travel and registration and that sort of thing. But then the only supplies you're buying are a set of posters that go with the four anchor tools. And what was the second part of that question?
What would you say has been the best and most challenging part of the curriculum?
I think the best part has been the effect that it's had on our students and how empowered they've become to manage their own feelings and understand the causes of their feelings and build that bank of strategies to manage those emotions. They really get it. It's a very simple model for kids to follow and adults. I think the most challenging thing for me as a trainer and the person who's kind of leading the effort is getting staff buy-in and getting staff to follow the curriculum with fidelity, like any other curriculum. But families love it, students love it, and the teachers who are really into it, some of them have said they couldn't imagine having a class or a school without it.
Any last questions from the audience this afternoon? Well, great. We want to thank all of our speakers for joining us, and that was a really excellent presentation and exciting to hear what's happening at South Shore. Don't forget, for everyone, if you missed parts of this presentation or you'd like to download the slides, they'll be available on our website, www.educationvoters.org. Our next lunchtime webinar will be held on October 10th. We'll be exploring what makes a college and career-ready diploma, and we'll look at issues of equity and access to advanced placement classes. To register for this webinar, visit our website or look for our email blast heading out tomorrow. Thank you all, and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.